Nerds Talking, the podcast.
Yo, we talk about lightsabers, stunning your TV screens, what you want to stream, everything beyond your dreams. Want to talk about movies, sports, or even politics? Go ahead and tune into us, we'll give you all of it. Whatever your debate, Xbox or PlayStation, Marvel or DC, Mac or PC. Teraflops when the movie drops, gigabytes, chips, RAM, no matter what it is, we got all of it. Welcome to the show.
Nerds Talking, the podcast.
Welcome to Nerds Talking, the podcast. I'm here with Laura and Johnny, and I'm Carlos. Let's get right into it. Breaking news. Seems like Marvel has finally found their Reed Richards. Pedro Pascal has been cast as Mr. Fantastic for the Fantastic Four movie. And it seems like Javier Bardem is the front runner for the villain Galactus. How do you guys feel about Marvel movies and in the direction that they're going?
Okay, you need to clarify a few things for me. Mr. Fantastic, who is that? Has anybody else played him?
John Krasinski played him.
In Wanda, or the...
Yeah, the alternate.
In Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, yeah.
Yes. So people were like... I saw some people going crazy about John Krasinski playing him. They were like, oh my God, he's so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need any word on why they didn't go with him?
Because he's an alternate universe.
Doctor Strange.
That's why.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. I don't know anything.
Not to say that he can't show up again, just like Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield showed up. He could show up again. But that's only if they did the whole multiverse run in again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that makes sense, right? Because to have John Krasinski, then you'd probably have to have the female Captain America and
Peggy Carter, because they exist in the same universe. Well, you don't necessarily have to. That's the thing about the multiverse. You can just...
Yeah, I guess you can do whatever you want. It's a blank check.
Yeah, truly, truly. And what was the other one? Pedro Pascal, and what was the other one?
Javier Bardem.
As...
frontrunner for the villain of Galactus, the planet eater.
He's a great villain, period. So that seems like good casting just in general. I feel like if you ever put Javier Bardem in your roster, that's never a bad thing.
Well, the thing about Galactus, though, is I'm super curious how they're going to write this Fantastic Four movie. Because if you have this giant entity who eats planets, and if he actually looks like Galactus with the big crown and the big scepter or whatever, how's it going to be just the Fantastic Four versus Galactus? Aren't the other Avengers and the other superheroes going to see this thing that's in space? Or are they just going to, how are they going to try to focus only on the Fantastic Four seeing him and only being a Fantastic Four movie? I'm curious in what direction that'll go.
That's forever the struggle of Marvel movies, period. Whenever it isn't an Avengers or like the team movie, you're like, really? They didn't think that this world-ending thing was important enough to get the gang back together? I feel like that's constantly a thing. And you just, I don't know, just kind of as a viewer, you just have to be like, eh, it's a movie.
Well, anytime they did it recently is when Doctor Strange showed up in Spider-Man.
You don't think that like all the worlds collapsing in on one another is enough to get the gang back together?
Yeah. Right. Yep.
You just kind of roll with it because you know they're movies and it's fine.
And in the Marvels, which I saw this past weekend, they were able to focus on just the Marvels because everything that was happening in deep space. So the other Avengers, the other heroes wouldn't have known of it unless Captain Marvel asked for help from Earth's mightiest heroes. But she didn't. It was her. Miss Marvel and Spectre were out there fighting this other villain, I believe was Ronan's, I want to say it's Ronan's sister, the one that died in Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Ronan. Mm-hmm.
If you get a chance to go see the movie, it's a good movie. It's a fun movie. I'm not going to spoil any of it. All I will say is that some of the Doctor Strange stuff, the rip in the multiverse, happens again. And then if you see it, you definitely want to stick around for the end credit because you're going to be pleasantly surprised. But it was a fun movie for sure. I'd give it a 3 out of 5.
If I had unlimited free time, I would love to go see it. Unfortunately, I have zero free time, and so I will be waiting for it to arrive on streaming. But I definitely will watch it when it gets there. On the Marvel Universe, I have been watching Loki Season 2. I binged it all in fairly quick succession. I really, really, really liked it. I had a ton of fun with Loki. I liked the first season, but I think I watched the first season a little bit like as it was coming out. So like, you know, week by week. I always enjoy things more when I do just like a massive consumption. And I really, really, really liked it. I didn't understand a lot of it. Like as far as like the, you know, the time travel logistics or like what was actually happening. But I like the themes of the show, and the ending was fucking fantastic.
I haven't seen any of it. Just haven't gotten around to it. And I think after what was that, Secret War or whatever, that their latest series,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to take a break for a while.
Loki has nothing to do with Secret War.
Yeah, but still, it's, I don't know. It just left a bad taste in my mouth. I mean, honestly, like, it's going to be impossible for them to get to the level that they were at with, you know,
yeah,
Iron Man to Avengers. Now they're just, they can do whatever they want. Multiverses and changing this and changing that. And I don't know. I think I need a break from them.
I think Loki is a fascinating character, and Tom Hiddleston does a great job with him. Yeah, the Loki series is absolutely fantastic. But yeah, definitely far better than Secret Invasion. I wasn't too hip with Secret Invasion either. I just watched it slowly. I don't think I watched it week after week. I just, a couple of them came out. Okay, let me just catch up on them. And that's the thing about the Marvels is that they kind of explain where the other two get their powers. But if you haven't seen WandaVision and you haven't seen Ms. Marvel, you're kind of left out a little bit. So
I haven't seen Ms. Marvel. I have seen WandaVision.
So with Marvel doing this, making the series, and you have to watch them in order to catch up to the films, I think that's a bad idea, because you're kind of forcing people to get Disney Plus, and maybe that's the only way they can get subscribers. Because for me, Disney Plus, now that Loki's over, what's there to watch? Cancel. When that thing comes out, I'll re-up, right? But they definitely had a chance, if they wanted to get rid of Jonathan Majors, because you saw how they killed Victor Timely over and over again.
Yep.
I thought for sure that's what they were doing. Okay, they're going to get rid of him, and Kang is no longer going to be a thing, because Kang Dynasty recently lost its director. So I don't know what they're going to do with this. It's still on the table for a July 2026 release. But we'll see. But yeah, the ending was fantastic. I mean, Loki is now, he is the TVA, right? He is.
Yeah.
They don't have a loom anymore. They have a tree, and Loki is the trunk of the tree. Yeah, it's a fascinating show. But they do spend the rest of their time looking for the variants, Victor Timely variants. So who knows? I don't know how this is going to play out.
But I think that was really clever of them, because with that ending, they could either continue on with their Jonathan Majors problem, or Jonathan Majors as Kang. Is it Kang or Krang?
Kang.
I'm thinking of Krang.
Krang is from the Ninja Turtles. Yes.
Kang. They could continue on with him as Kang, or they could drop it entirely. So they really managed to wrap all that up in a nice, neat little bow. Truly, where they could go either way, whatever they wanted to do, and make it a very satisfying, emotionally impacting ending. So I was a big fan of that. And also, it was fucking epic at the end. Marvel is cranking out a show that looks this fucking good on a TV show, and then DC is putting out these trash effects like they did in The Flash. And I was like, you know, Marvel might not be as good as it once was. It was like Johnny said, like, you know, from Iron Man to Avengers and, you know, all down the line until the end of Endgame. You know, that was the heyday, the highlight. But if they're still cranking out TV shows that are this good and DC is shitting out Flash effects, Marvel still got it on top. I know, Carlos, I know you're a DC lover as well. I just got to put that out there.
But the thing is, with Marvel, they give it 100% every time.
Yeah.
I mean, 100% every time. Mm-hmm. DC tries to come up, oh, we'll do 110%. We'll give you all these effects, all the CGI. But unfortunately, it's from CGI from the guy who just graduated high school, right? I mean, that's what it looks like. You know, the lowest bidder gets the job. That's what it seems like DC's doing. But with James Gunn taking over, we'll see how this plays out. I mean, I'm not going to say they're going to take over as a superhero movie empire kings or whatever. But I'm just curious to see how this plays out, because they're also doing the same thing where the series on Max will tie into the movies. And so, like, their first animated series, the voice actors in that, if it happens to jump into the film, like live action, then the voice actor will play that part in live action. But yeah, no, Marvel, they're a roller coaster for sure. Roller coaster for sure. And right now with Loki, I'd say they're on the uphill. We'll just have to see what comes out next.
Yeah. Well, and if you said Marvel's were good also on the Marvel's, on the upswing.
Yeah. Marvel's was good. Yep. Yeah.
You know, and another thought I had while I was watching Loki and watching how they managed, again, to put this all into a nice, neat little bow, is depending on Jonathan Majors and his legal troubles, they could go either way. And it got me thinking of just what a bizarre position actors and studios are in nowadays, in the sense that, like, if you're going to cast somebody, what kind of checks are you going to need to do? Because think of all the millions of dollars they had wrapped up in all this shit. You know what I mean? Like, all the planning that goes into casting this person as the main villain or the main hero, or you know, whatever the case may be. How are studios in the future going to have to vet people before they invest time, money, writers, you know, planning into these sagas? And it just kind of blew my mind, because this guy fucked up and did bad things, allegedly. I don't know. I don't really follow celebrity drama. I know a little bit about it. But I'm just like, this guy is fucking up this giant studio's plans, you know, their 5-year plans for movies, and fucking up me as a viewer, because I really like Kang as a villain and I want to see him. I want to see specifically Jonathan Majors, because I think he is so good in that role. And he's like fucking up my continuity. You know what I mean? And so just what are people going to have to do when they cast people in these kinds of things in the future?
There's no way to do that. There's just no way. I mean, can't do a background check. And, you know, it's not like some agencies where you talk to the neighbors and then do all this and that. It's just.
But should they? If they're going to invest all this money?
Yeah, but there's no telling, right? I mean, what's going to happen when he starts to, just like this, he was one of the hottest people in Hollywood, just with what he was putting out. He was gaining that momentum. I wouldn't say he was the hottest, but he was gaining that momentum. And then it can be derailed by, you know, like you said, either bad actions or false accusations. I mean, just like that. Like, so how do you also have to, you know, interrogate the people that are around him to make sure that they're not going to fucking try and, you know, embezzle him or make sure there's no crazy bitches in his harem, things like that.
That's what I was talking to my husband. He's like, what are you going to do? You're going to make sure that he's never fucked a crazy bitch before? I'm like, yeah, I think if you're going to like look at all this kind of stuff, if you're going to invest this much time and money and effort into a star, I think you're going to have to. You're going to have to interview ex-girlfriends and neighbors and, you know, the guy at his local Starbucks to see if he ever said something racially charged, and like do like a personality assessment and make sure or try to guard against the idea. I was like, this guy is going to lose it if we give him fame. Do you know, I don't know. It just got me thinking on this whole, you know, pre-hire.
Okay. Well, think about this too, right? Like, let's say you're in charge of Marvel, and then you do all your checks, everything checked out good, and then it turns out he has like skeletons in the closet, he's got, you know, multiple felonies, or he's dogfighting ring, whatever it is. Then there's,
well, he better not have multiple felonies, because that's very checkable, but the dogfighting ring, okay,
yeah,
that would be
so then isn't there some finger pointing on you for not running a more thorough check? Like, you have to think about everything involved. Like, yeah, do your standard checks, right? Check his Twitter, check, you know, his previous posts and all that stuff, and then make your decision from there. But like, I agree, he's amazing in that role. He's an excellent actor. Everything that I've seen him in, he just knocks out of the park. You know, I hope one day it dies down and get back to work, but I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I don't like they just wrote him off like that without the court of the court of like public opinion is more powerful than the court of law, and I'm not a fan of that.
I agree. I'm also not a fan of that. But they did release the show, right? Like freaking Kevin Spacey, but all that shit happened. Didn't they film some of it, House of Cards, and they axed it and then went back and rewrote it and refilmed the whole thing. So, I mean, they didn't like blackball him, you know, but it's a question of if he's going to move forward, because he's mesmerizing in the role. Not so much as Victor Timely in Loki, because he's just kind of a dork. But when he plays, you know, He Who Remains, he just gives me chills when he's on the screen. And that's, you know, even in Ant-Man, he's a very fascinating villain. And I would be sad if they had to discontinue him. But I understand the Twitter mob rules. I like my stories. I like my stories.
No,
you need a be on your best behavior clause when they sign these contracts.
Oh, I'm certain that they do. I'm 100% certain that they have that, like a morality clause, that kind of thing. But
and you also got to watch who you're involved with after you're big time. It's like, because you don't know, some people might sneak into your camp just to sabotage it on purpose.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, so yeah, he's I don't know what the deal is with him now, but like you said, they did come out with Loki, they left it as it was. I don't like the idea that prosecuted the guy on social justice, I guess. Just let it play out, just leave it alone. I mean, they did that with Justin Roiland, is that right? Mm-hmm. From Rick and Morty, before he even went to court, they fired him from everything, and he did the voice of Rick and Morty. He did a lot of voices on there. And he had a gaming company. He did voices on that. They fired him from everything. Turned out he was not guilty. He's acquitted.
Well, it's like fucking James Gunn, right? They locked him off of everything, Disney.
Oh, for his tweet.
Yeah. Yeah. And then later they redacted it because the actors were like, what the fuck?
They weren't going to come back. The actors weren't going to come back.
Yeah. And good for them. Yeah. Standing by somebody that they know is a great talent and is probably a great guy, because tweets that you did 10 years ago are not representative of who you are as a human. God, if he would have dug up my shit when I was 20 years old, sometimes I think about it and I like want to hide under my bed. I'm like, what are the things that I thought and said?
Right.
It's terrifying.
Why did I think this was okay at the time? Or
right.
Exactly.
Especially as a teenager, right? Some of the shit you say or do just to try to impress somebody, dumb, or try to be cool. Absolutely. If they were to dig that up, oh my God, I'm so glad there was no social media or cameras around or anything when I was growing up. Bad news.
I put some shit on LiveJournal back in the day, and now all my LiveJournal from the past, like, you know, when I was doing it like 20 years ago, is all private. And I read some of those sometimes, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, who is this person? I suffered very heavily from the Dunning-Kruger effect. When you know a little bit about something, you think you're an expert on something, you think you know everything. Oh, so fucking stupid.
I'm still guilty of some of the stuff that I said when I was younger. And I noticed that in the car during rush hour, someone cuts me off and I'll just blurt out something. Never racial. So I'll just get that out there. Never racial.
Never Rachel.
Well, who?
Never Rachel.
You didn't say, like, you fucking cocksucker. That's just words. Who cares?
Yeah, but I get. Yeah. Anyways. I'm not trying to get canceled or anything like that. It's just some words you said when you were a kid have different meanings now. And anyways.
Cunt is still cunt. What words are we talking?
Yeah. Oh, I'm curious. If they're not racial.
You want this to be my last show? All right.
If they're not racial.
I guess this is my last show. I just wanted to.
Laura, you. Fucking Laura's.
I guess you're just gonna have to guess. I'm not gonna fucking say it then have you put it out there. This is what they pull up in like IA interviews when you get in trouble. Is this you? Is this your friend? How long have you known this guy? I'm like, oh fuck.
Oh, don't get famous. Moral of the story. Yeah. Don't get famous.
Well, as long as we're here. On Nerds Talking, we're not going to have to worry about this.
What are you talking about? The number one show on your dial right now. Over 10,000 listeners a week. Keep them coming, people.
But I mean, like, look at Lafayette. He's already canceled. Where the fuck's he been?
Yeah.
His work schedule has got him away for a while. A lot of traveling. But we'll see.
We miss him. We'll get him. Good old Lafayette.
See if we can't wrangle him back in. Anyway, back on the movie front, Sony released a short 90-second video preview of Madame Web, another Spider-Man character played by Dakota Johnson. It looks incredible. Looks better than I thought it was going to be. But well, I guess we'll just have to see what the full-length film is like because Sony just hasn't hit the mark on the Spider-Man spinoffs. Venom was all right. Carnage was horrible.
Which one was Carnage? Was that the vampire one?
No, that was that shit show Morbius with Jared Leto.
What was Carnage?
With Woody Harrelson. It was Venom Part 2. Part 2.
Right.
Oh, you didn't see it? Don't worry.
No recollection of this whatsoever. Okay.
And they're coming out with Kraven the Hunter with Aaron Taylor Johnson.
That looks good, though.
That's the guy from
Not the guy from
right?
Home Improvement.
Yeah, Kick-Ass.
I love that guy. He's so fucking hot.
You know his wife is like 20 years older than him?
Yes.
Or something like
and
that?
And I'm like, this is weird.
That she hit it big time. Like, they have two kids together, and yeah, jackpot for her.
And I found out that Madame Web was written by the two fellas who wrote Morbius.
Right.
And now I'm like, let's see.
Wait, so did you not think that the Spider-Man movies were good? Or is just the
Spider-Man
Sony...
movies were great because they were made by Marvel. That's why they were good. Morbius was
Are you talking about the old Spider-Man movies or the new Spider-Man movies?
No, the old Spider-Man movies were good as well. Sam Raimi did the first two or three.
Yeah. He did Tobey Maguire ones. I don't remember who did Andrew Garfield ones. Those were all like when Marvel was still kind of like.
No, those were all Sony films. Those were all Sony.
I enjoyed them.
Yeah.
But the Tom Holland films are far
in the Marvel
better.
Universe.
Oh, they're far better. Yeah.
I'm just saying anything since the Tom Holland verse that Sony has put out have just been garbage.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. Oh, DC has decided to sell off all its stuff to Netflix. Now it's showing all the DCEU films on Netflix. Coming shortly.
So, yeah. Snyder Cuts as well? I mean, because currently...
Snyder Cut's going to be on there as well.
That's on Max right now, right?
Correct. Soon to be on Netflix.
Maybe I'll finally watch the Snyder Cut.
Well
Maybe.
Worth it.
It's well very good. Answers a lot of questions that the first one like just left you up in the air about.
How long is it? It's like 6 hours or some shit.
It's not short. It's a long fucking movie. Yeah, it's
but they do break it up into chapters. So
okay,
if you want to watch it per chapter, you can pause it, come back.
This is the Justice League, right? It's the Justice League Snyder Cut. Yeah.
Right. Correct. Correct.
Got it. Because I just remember watching Justice League and I'm like, what the fuck is even happening? So, yeah.
A little disappointing. But the Zack Snyder Cut, far better. Far, far better. And
maybe I'll check it out once it hits Netflix.
This weekend, we got new releases in the theater. We got The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Anybody interested? Or are you just done with The Hunger Games?
Done.
I was never a big fan. It's not based on any books, so I guess it's like the Harry Potter universe. They're just like, you know, hey,
right,
let's extend this out. And I was never a big fan, so yes.
Also, Thanksgiving, the movie, which is a slasher film, comes out this weekend by Sony. The Trolls Band Together is out this weekend.
Did you see the trailer for Thanksgiving?
I did not. Did you?
It reminds me of a movie that'll be coming out in 2090 called Paperboy or Papercut or some shit like that.
Paperboy. Then I got to go see this beautiful film.
at least see the trailer. I feel like you're going to see everything you need in the trailer. Like he's killing people with Thanksgiving related things.
Does somebody get killed with a wishbone? I hope so.
I'm sure of it. But like there's a girl in the trailer that gets corn on the cob things in her ears.
Oh.
You know, the
holds the corn. Yeah.
So things
somebody
like that.
Die by drowning, like gravy drowning, that'd be awesome too.
I don't know. It looked bad enough to be interesting. And then like I saw some decent actors in there, but Patrick Dempsey's in there. I'll have to look it up, but I feel like there's some legitimate actors in that movie.
Isn't Patrick Dempsey the new hottest man for People Magazine of the year?
Yeah, I think so. And you know what? It's not his first one, I don't think. I feel like he's been the hottest guy before.
Sexiest man alive, Patrick Dempsey.
What a title.
No, Hemsworth.
What a title. Could you imagine what you could do with that?
Nothing. Sell People Magazine.
What you could do with that.
What would I do with that? What would you do with that?
I would fucking lay down so much pipe. Yeah, I have no idea. I would go to town. I'd be like the Pete Davidson of the world. Just fucking dating hot ass people.
Just so they could say that they were seeing with the sexiest man alive. Better take advantage, but you got 12 months of it.
I feel like, why don't you think it's a big deal?
I don't know. I just don't see it's a big deal.
I don't know.
Because it's funny that they're the sexiest men alive voted by People Magazine, but it's not like there's a fight for it. It's not like there's a, you know, you got a public vote for it. That'd be better if it was a public vote. Then they'd have to campaign for it. That'd be better. They'd try campaigning to be the sexiest men alive.
I don't know. I think it'd be cool. I've never won any fucking shit like that. So my sixth grade teacher, she told us that she was voted like she had the cutest walk or something like that in junior high. I was like, And she was hot. She was one of the kinds of ladies that you wish would be inappropriate and so you could end up on the news type of thing.
You'd hope that she'd pick you.
Yeah. She was really attracted to my lisp. I was just, like, Laura, what if What if Austin was voted the most sexiest man of the year? What would you do with that? Like, how cool would that be? Like, Carlos, it's just another day. I don't fucking care. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I live this thing every day. Absolutely. It's just another day. Just another day.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Is that how you live?
Happy? Yeah. I'd be happy for him.
I mean, it's embarrassing, right, for the people who get voted. Like, this year it's Patrick Dempsey. And Blake Shelton got it once, but I feel like it was that based on his personality.
Chris Evans got it once, and I was like, well deserved, sir.
I mean, it's not a real thing. Nice. There's no real prize or anything like that. Yeah. But
it'd be a status boost. I would feel the social capital come in my way as his spouse. So good for him. That's what I would say. But would it change anything about a relationship? No.
It would change a little bit. It's going to wear off after a little bit. For example, when the donut shop in the town just outside of Sacramento got voted best donut, the lines were out the door. Waited like an hour and a half for a donut. They've died down since. But I mean, like, he's a sexy donut. Enjoy it.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking there would be a lot of competition. So I would feel like for a period of time, I would have to up my game to compete with his rising market value. So I would have to be like, you know, doing my wifely duties maybe a little bit more often to keep the lines outside the door.
Right.
But then after that died down, right back to normal.
Yeah. And then, hey, sexy man, change these fucking diapers. Shit like that.
Yep. All right. The last 10 sexiest men. Patrick Dempsey's recent. 2022, Chris Evans. 21, Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
2020, Michael B. Jordan. 2019, John Legend. 2018, Idris Elba.
Yeah.
2017, okay. Johnny's favorite, Blake Shelton.
The...
2016, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. 2015, David Beckham.
Okay.
And at 2014, Chris Hemsworth. Apparently, there's been 38 sexiest men alive.
I know Hugh Jackman was one at one point. Have you guys ever seen pictures of his wife?
No.
They recently divorced.
Are they divorced now?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Hugh Jackman was 2008.
I didn't know they divorced. When did they divorce?
A month or two ago.
Seriously? Oh.
Yeah.
She looks like his mother.
I know. She's a horrible woman. And she just landed this just smoke show. I don't know.
I think they were married for over 20 years, I believe.
They were 27 years. Long fucking
27.
Time.
Yeah.
Why do you divorce somebody after 27 years?
All good things come to an end.
Yeah, I guess.
And on that note, let's take a break. Nurse Talking the Podcast. We'll be right back with Laura's thoughts after this.
Hello, this is Lafayette,
and I'm Carlos
from Nerds Talking the Podcast.
That's right.
Where we talk about everything from UFOs,
yep,
comic books,
like
movies,
uh-huh,
streaming services,
yeah,
conspiracy theories,
oh,
ghosts,
mm,
video games,
yeah,
and more.
Kick ass.
All on Nerds Talking the Podcast.
You can find us every Friday with new episodes on all digital platforms where you find your favorite podcast, Nerds Talking the Podcast.
Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Nerds Talking the Podcast. Another Friday, another new show. So, news, Taylor Swift is a time traveler. Were you guys aware of this?
I think apparently, I've heard that conspiracy theory before.
Yeah, apparently this is something that they're trying to make viral or trying to make something real out of it. Because in 1981... there was a television commercial for a children's toy called Glamour Gal Dolls. And the girl in the commercial is a dead ringer for Taylor Swift. It's not Taylor Swift, but it's a dead ringer for Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift was born in 1989. This commercial came out in 1981. But people are trying to say that she's a time traveler.
What say you? It does look like her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah.
It does look like her. But then, like, I saw Kevin Hart on an interview or some podcast, and they were like, oh, like, it says here that you were in, I don't know, like, say, South Africa or whatever. And then Kevin Hart was like, I know who you're talking about. This guy's my doppelganger. He looks just like me. It's not me, promise you. But it looked exactly like him. So, I mean, to I don't know.
Well, you know what they say. Everybody has a doppelganger, right? Everybody has someone who looks like them on the planet.
True.
Either now or at some point.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I get this thing where people always tell me, it's like, have I met you before? I get it a lot. And I just tell them, I'm like, I think I just have one of those faces, or I have a doppelganger that lives near me. I don't know. But the doppelganger thing, what's his name? Timothy Oliphant and Josh Duhamel, two famous guys, right at the same moment.
Yeah.
Timothy Oliphant had Josh Duhamel take a picture with his family and sent it out as his Christmas card.
That's funny.
And his mom didn't notice.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So we all, it exists.
I used to work with this girl who, she has a distinct, like, she's a heavier set girl. She has a distinct look about her. And I saw her, you know, in the area that I was living at the time. And I was going to say hi, but I was like, I'm busy. I got to do something or whatever. So I didn't say hi. And when I got back to work, I said, oh, I saw you over here at this store. She's like, no, it wasn't me. I'm like, somebody looked exactly like you. And so she says that, she said that she was adopted. She did a 23andMe, and they said, oh, you have a sister out there somewhere. So she's thinking that there's a twin out there. But the crazy thing to me is, like, she, like, that's it. Like, she got the 23andMe information. You have a sister, lives in the same city as you. And then that was it. You know, pay $20 to find out more information. And she just didn't pay the $20. And, like, I don't know.
$20?
I don't know. Like, I'm not adopted, so I don't know how that feels, or if there's any desire to find your real family or anything like that. But I thought that was really weird, that, because when I asked her, like, how long ago did you take this test? Oh, she's all, like, 7 years ago or something like that. I'm like, so all that time just not reaching out or, like, finding your sibling? I don't know. That's...
I'd be super curious.
Yeah,
I'd be super curious too, right? I mean, yeah.
I'm sure that's some sort of, you know, deep personal preference. You know, she's decided very much so. She's not interested. I don't think it's a question mark for her. You know what I mean? If you've been that long and never chosen to explore it, that is a decision not to at that point.
I mean, you talk to some people, right, who they're set in their ways, and this person is very, like, set in their ways. Like, because when I had asked her, you know, a follow-up question, like, why not? Like, aren't you curious? And this and that. And she was like, well, you know, I'm just kind of set in my ways. I do this on the weekends. I do that. I have my dog. I'm like, all right. So you're content with your
life.
Sounds
like a boring person.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. No new applicants needed.
No,
yeah,
sisters need not apply.
I guess that's one.
Hey,
way
this
to
new
look
show's
at
gonna
it.
Play. The new show's coming up on Netflix. You want to check it out? No, Friends is on. I'm just gonna go home and watch reruns of Friends. Oh, good for you. John Krasinski's doppelganger.
Makes you happy.
Played him once on The Office. They didn't. Couldn't even tell. Couldn't even
what?
Tell.
Are you talking about
Randall
Park?
Yeah.
That's one of the best cold opens.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So funny.
Well, Laura, you had brought something up during break. You've been watching a documentary on Netflix, something about swatting. Why don't you tell us what that is and what this documentary is about?
Well, it was a series on Netflix. I just reinvested in Netflix, so I'm like binging all of the true crime shit. And it's a show called, what was it, like Web of Make Believe? And the first episode, just, I was hooked the whole time. The next episodes, I was like, boring, boring, boring. I flipped through all of the previous ones, but the first one was about a case in, I think it was in California. Maybe I'm lying. Maybe it, no, it was in Wichita, Kansas, where this event happened. But swatting as a general concept, everyone on this call seems to know what swatting is. I didn't. And that was when some fucking asshole decides to be, quote, funny and call in, you know, a dire life or death emergency on somebody, usually in online gaming. They're pranking people and to get a SWAT team to show up when somebody is playing a video game. I did not know that this existed because, number one, just fucking flabbergasted. Like, what outside reality world do you live in where you think that this is funny to take first responders who could be responding to life or death situations and send them to your gaming nemesis's house? Like, ha 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 ha. Oh, it enraged me. But anyway, the whole show was about a guy who was known for doing this. He got money from Twitter, you know, from people to SWAT other people. Like, he had this online persona that they would pay him $20 to $50 to SWAT people. And it ended up killing some innocent man, of course, you know, by some police misconduct or whatever you want to call it. You know, this fucking idiot who was betting against somebody on Call of Duty for $1.50 didn't like the outcome. So he sicked this SWAT guy on him and said, hey, send a SWAT team to this address. It was the wrong address. It was an old address. And this family living there, police surround the whole house because they've gotten this call from this person. Like, I just killed somebody and I have hostages. I don't know what to do. Yeah. And this guy answers the door, completely innocent individual. And, you know, the police say, I thought he was reaching for a weapon, shot him, killed him. And the whole thing just fucking blew me away. And I was so enraged about this snide little rat face motherfucker who did this. And he got 20 years in jail. And I'm like, you better serve every fucking second of that 20 years. What a fucking asshole. It just, made my blood boil watching it. And it's just the internet is such a weird fucking place, you know?
I wouldn't even say it's necessarily the internet. I mean, it's just people with their thoughts and maybe lack of thought as far as consequences go.
Yeah.
Like, I was on a call where a call comes out and like someone goes to the payphone and says, someone's been shot. He's over here. There's a guy with the gun. And next thing you know, like 20 cars are going down the road. And it turns out,
as they should be, because when you get a call like that, that's exactly what the police should be doing.
Yeah. It turns out it was just some junior high girl who just, she did it like 2 days in a row, and I don't know if they ever caught her, to be honest with you.
They fucking prosecute her ass.
Well, I get that. I mean, just think of what could have happened if someone, you know, doesn't check the intersection and hits a cop and somebody dies in an accident. Like, I don't know, this little girl wasn't thinking about that. She, you know, and I don't know. I don't know the thought process that goes in your head. Maybe you just want to see cars drive fast. Maybe you just want to.
I don't have no idea. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, because you hear about criminals like breaking into someplace but not taking anything just to check like response times. This wasn't that. You know, this was more just a sick little girl who craving attention, or I don't know. I'm sure if and when they catch her, or if they caught her, she would have burst into tears, admitted to everything, and never done it again type of thing. But like the consequences could have been so severe just of something like that. So
that's exactly what I got from this fucking, like I said, rat face motherfucker who was just like, it wasn't attention. It was the feeling of power of like, I can do this. I can send people here or there. And I'm like, this is completely imaginary power. It is not power. You're preying on society's infrastructure to save people. It was so gross. And I completely blew my mind and just made me think of, because there is a lot of that in gaming culture, like, you know, all the abusive language that they use to each other and the things they say for shock value. And it's all for this feeling of power. I'm just like, this is so gross because it has no bearing in your real life. It's just words on a screen. I can't describe quite or articulate quite what the feeling of uck that just surrounds me, and it just leaves me angry, just wanting to beat the shit out of these, you know, teenagers, like, do these things and just like wring their necks and be like, join the real fucking world.
In the documentary, did they ever interview the people that initiated the SWAT calls?
Yeah, they did. He's in prison. So right. It is an interview with him over telephone about, you know, what was going through his mind and was like, I am blah, blah, blah. It wasn't just even the way he talks about it now. I don't know how many years later, just like no
retrospect,
no remorse and no retrospect of like, I was young and this was stupid and here's why it was stupid. It was just like, yeah, I was invincible. I was this. They were interviewed this journalist is like such a fucking prick. And I'm like, oh man, you nailed it.
Yeah. Hope they fuck his asshole. What was the name of that documentary again? Or series?
Web of Make Believe. And Web the of first episode. Yeah. Okay. On Netflix. And the first episode is the swatting one. Very interesting.
But
you know, that 45 minutes or whatever was a good 45 minutes. I'm fine with it.
Beautiful.
I feel like people have said that about me before. Like, I regret them, but 45 minutes.
Those first 2 minutes.
I feel like a good 45 minutes. That's an ovation.
I get it, but I include the date and the car ride and all that stuff. And then going to the ATM to get their fees, you know, things like that.
I mean, a good date's worth a lot. Make you feel sexy, make you have fun. Worth a lot.
Yep. And just imagine if they went on the date with the most sexiest man alive that year. They'd love it. They'd definitely charge me less.
It's on the house, baby.
Yeah, but Carlos is just like, every day is my sexiest life.
Every day. That's right.
Remember you every said you were going to be nicer? You remember
it's
that?
It's hard. I got to beat him off with a stick as I come out the door. Man, I got to open my garage like quietly. I pull the rope so I can roll it up quiet. Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy.
So you don't disturb the paparazzi.
That's right. So they don't know I'm sneaking off. Yeah, it's nuts. Man, if you could trade places with me. You'd probably kill yourself. Just couldn't handle it. Just couldn't handle the sexiness that comes with every day of your life.
There might be other reasons. Rexy. There might be other reasons.
You guys suck. All right. Let's go to this week's our movie review. This week we saw Dumb Money, starring Paul Dano, Shailene Woodley, Seth Rogen, Pete Davidson, America Ferrera, Sebastian Stan, Nick Offerman. Man, the list just goes on and
on. That's an all-star cast, man.
Quite a bit. So Dumb Money, the GameStop story. Johnny, what did you think?
Well, let's start with Laura, because she didn't actually finish it. So of what you saw, Laura, what did you think? Where'd you leave off?
I enjoyed it. I maybe like 30, 40 minutes, and not because of lack of interest, but because of lack of time. I've had a busy fucking week.
Before you saw the movie, did you know anything about the GameStop thing?
Yeah. I mean, I exist in society. I knew of it in general. I didn't know the details of it. I knew a few things. I don't really understand the stock market. So a lot of this was in the beginning. I'm like, I don't quite understand.
Don't feel bad. Because after I saw the movie, I had to Google it and then I read an article that further explained like what was kind of going on. And like, I didn't know it at the time. I just heard that GameStop had blown up. And to me, you know, it was all during COVID. Yeah. And to me, it was like a Bitcoin. You know, it was like, okay, this is something that doesn't have to do with me. I know it's blowing up. I know people are going crazy over it, but it's just not something I'm doing.
I knew it was a David versus Goliath story. It was an everyman versus, you know, very fucking rich people. And so I knew the spirit of the story. You know what I mean? I might not know the particulars. I know in a very simplistic way how shorting works, because I've seen The Big Short, which is a great movie, by the way, who does a great job of, like, you know, explaining how these things work. So that is like my background for shorting and how this GameStop thing kind of happened. But I the beginning, and like these fucking rich assholes, and I'm just watching it. I'm just enraged. Even in the short time that I was watching it, I was just like, fuck you motherfuckers, these fucking rich ass motherfuckers trying to get rich and trying to keep the little man down. I was angry in the time that I did watch it. So I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't finish it. But I'm going to finish it because I did enjoy what I saw.
Carlos, what do you think? Do you think she would have been held up the diamond hands? Because I feel like Laura is very passionate about it.
No, I don't think Laura would have taken the risk.
Diamond hands?
I don't see her going.
It means like hold the line, like, because the stock was like growing and growing. And so like,
oh, I'm not a risk taker. Carlos nailed me. I'm not a gambler. And that's what I was thinking as I watched this. I was like, all these people who are like day trading or all this kind of shit, what are people who are going to casinos doing? They should not be spending $1,000 in a weekend in fucking Vegas. They should be investing this money, getting that dopamine hit from doing these kind of like little investments, because that's going to make you a lot more fucking money than going to Vegas. That was my first thought.
All right. I mean, I guess that's one way to look at it, but the casino vibe is a different vibe than the stock market vibe. I mean, yeah, the outcome is the same. You still want to make money, but there's something about seeing that instant blackjack and, all right, now I made $500 as opposed to losing $500.
That's exactly what I'm not a risk taker. I don't get a thrill from that particular thing. I have other vices. So, I mean, it's just not really my bag, but Carlos is right. No, I do not put my money on the line. I put my money into very safe, conservative investments.
All right. So of what you saw, I mean, good enough to finish for sure. And then I think you'll be very pleased at the end. You know, it has a couple clips of the real people and what they're doing now or who made what type of thing to give you an idea of what was going on. And I mean, for me, I knew it, like I said, I knew of it, but it was something that I wasn't even going to begin to try and understand, invest in. Just, I don't know, that's never been my thing. It's mostly because I don't understand the market, right? I didn't understand how it was a David and Goliath thing until I read that article to where the big wigs bet on this thing to fail, and then the little guys brought it up, and then bigwigs intervened and this and that. It goes back and forth.
And I remember Robin Hood was a bad guy. I remember that from when it happened. Legitimately, I remember being pissed about it. I don't know exactly why, but I remember being like, fuck you, Robin Hood.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I liked all the actors in there. Everyone did a pretty good job. And they did a good job explaining the story. Like I said, I was just a person that it was on the news and I saw it here and there, but there was no way I'm even downloading the Robinhood app, let alone putting money into it, you know? But I have a lot of people like my brother, for example. He's very get rich quick type of person, but he invested. Well, he's done some investing on Bitcoins and whatnot, but it's all like after the fact, after everything dies down, after everyone who made their money is gone. Then he's like, all right, so if it goes up again, guess what? I'm gonna be a millionaire and I'm paying off your house. And while the gesture is nice, it's like, all right, you know, I've heard this before from him. It's like, when I win the lottery, I'm gonna buy you this, I'm gonna get you that, and then we're gonna go on a trip together. I'm like, and you want to say, oh, thanks, man, I can't wait, but then like you also don't want to put your eggs in that basket. So yeah, I'm sure he still checks the stock market to see if that Shibu is gonna go up. And
oh, it better go up.
Yeah,
3 million, baby. 3 million.
Carlos, what do you think?
I remember this when it was happening, because I was watching the market, because that's all everybody seemed to be doing during COVID. People, right, because of this. I remember the day you couldn't buy GameStop stock on Robinhood. I was like, well, that's weird. I wonder why you can't. I know they didn't sell out. You can't sell out. Well, there's a cap, but I don't think they hit the cap. So that was a little odd. And then the movie explained that. But no, I thought this was a very fascinating story. The little guy beats the big guy. And he did it with the help of a community. And do I think meme stock will ever happen again? Absolutely not. I don't think this will ever happen again, because now Wall Street has their people watching the internet. Hey, what's going on? Will this happen again? If so, let's jump on the stock and let's do this. So I don't think it's going to happen again. But good for Keith Gill for doing what he did. The man is a legend. Absolutely legend. Now, the stories of everyone else in the film, I don't know if any of them are true or not, but that nurse. Bad decision.
Ooh, like at the end of the movie, it was like, all right, Sam made, you know, his net worth $175,000. And then the two lesbian girlfriends, each were more worth just under $300,000. And then hers was like negative $59,000 or something. She's in the hole, but at one point she was she had $500,000.
Half a mil.
He didn't cash out.
And I know someone who bought it. They bought after it was going on. Mm-hmm. So they made a little bit of money, but they didn't cash out when they should have. They held too long. So they broke even. I was ready to pull the trigger on it too. I had the Robinhood app because I was investing in some other things. Then I was thinking, man, how much longer could this possibly go up? I should have pulled the trigger. I wouldn't have made that much money, but I would have made something. But oh, man, yeah, it was such a risk. And I wasn't into the whole Wall Street bets. I didn't know anything about that Reddit thread. If I would have been more into it, I probably would have invested in it. But the movie itself, the actors in it, Pete Davidson was great. Paul Dano was great. So I definitely recommend. What pissed me off the most was that guy, Ken Griffin. Nothing happened to that guy. Nothing.
Never does.
Really rarely does, right?
No shit, because that guy's worth billions. So clearly he's got influence, and he's influenced a lot of politicians, I'm sure. I'm sure a lot of people on the Capitol Hill were in his pocket.
They had said, that during the movie. These are the people who pay for like presidential campaigns and things like that.
Right, yeah.
But they never got in trouble for having a hand in it, and then GameStop never recovered their momentum after that.
No, currently GameStop stock is at $13.58. Oh, 27 cents went down already. Oh, well,
rich get richer And yeah.
Yeah. It started at $3 when this whole thing started. So at least it's higher than what it was.
Up to what? $400, $500?
I think 500. I think it topped out at $5. But it was some crazy price. Just some crazy price.
Oh, yeah. Man. Those numbers just don't make any sense to me. When he was at one point, he had what, 44 million in the bank or something like that. And he's like, I'm just gonna keep on holding. I like
this. It was all on paper. I mean, he was paper rich.
Yeah, but I mean, it could have been. Well, I don't know the process for when you finally cash out. Have you ever cashed out on your investments?
Yeah, I cashed out on, I sold half stock of a company I had, left the rest in there. Unfortunately, the other half went through the roof, but so yeah. I still have some money in it. But when I had it, it just kept going down and down, and then finally shot up. So yeah, you could just cash out and then Robinhood will.
Yeah, I mean, you get that money; it's taxable. But I mean, well, that's why if you cash out, it's yours.
Well, that's why he stopped the purchase of GameStop. He didn't have $3 billion he needed for all the cash outs. He needed to pay all his people out, and he had no money. So that's why he did that, and that's why Ken Griffin had his hand in that. The government had their hand in that, and that's what that part of the story was all about. He didn't have the money to cover the cash outs. But I would give this movie, I'd give it a 4 out of 5. It's a good watch, and it's an interesting story. If you haven't heard about it, or you had heard about it, but you just don't know the full story, definitely check out Dumb Money. Johnny, what do you give it?
I'm going to go ahead and give it a 4 as well. I mean, it was entertaining. The music was good. You know, it just...
A lot of Cardi B.
Yeah. Everything about the movie, you know, made me want to watch some more. So at first, when I started the movie, I was on my phone. I was playing games or, you know, scrolling through Facebook. By the end, like, my phone was away and I was paying attention. Because like I said, I didn't know the details. I knew eventually that things went down. I had no idea that Robin Hood like stopped the purchases for a while. And I didn't even think about the what it would take to pay all those people out. You know, like so Robin Hood would have, I don't know what they would have done, because they were a paper rich too, right? At one point.
Those two guys were billionaires. It was Vlad Tenev and Beju Bhatt. They were the creators of the app Robinhood.
It's still around. Do you still use it?
Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, it's still around. I still use it. They kind of did it to themselves, because when, I don't know who shut down Reddit, for some reason shut down Wall Street Bets. And I have a feeling that was a government thing behind it.
Oh, you think?
So when that happened, everybody freaked out and started selling their GameStop.
Right.
And that's why Robinhood had to come up with $3 billion, and they stopped people from buying the stock. But that also, they kind of hurt themselves with that as well, because if you couldn't buy stock, clearly something's wrong. I gotta sell. So now you gotta pay out more money. But then the following day or two, I think you could finally buy again, and Wall Street Bets was back up, and everything started going back up again.
Still rich.
Yeah. I mean, that would be tough, right? Because the whole theme behind the movie was like, we're the little guy, we're a group, we're going to stick it to the man. But these are all people with bills and responsibilities. And when you see a number like that in your account, man, it's got to be tough to believe in the cause that much, to not like pay your bills and to not like, you know, be comfortable in life and not like struggling. That would be a tough thing to do.
Well, the nurse, like if I was in the nurse's shoes and she had that half mil, I'm definitely pulling 300 out. If you want to hold to hold 200,000. And if you lose it, you lose it. But you clearly made 300,000. She was holding for too long. She had two kids. She's a single mom. Mm-mm-mm. But there's got to be a hint of greed behind it. Because if everyone else is selling and you're still holding, everybody's selling. But you're holding, you got to see those numbers going down. So when those numbers start going down, you got to sell.
What do you sell to, though? The people see the numbers going down. This is what I don't understand about the stock market. I don't know. I don't understand this shit.
All right.
Have you given up on life then? I don't know the stock market.
She's like, took the mic away from her face. I just don't understand. I'm done.
Well, then I guess on that note, we should wrap things up. Lori, you have anything else?
No. Fuck you, rich motherfuckers. That's all I got to say. Down with the man. Power to the people.
All righty. Johnny, you got anything else?
I think I should have gone first because I don't have that kind of passion that Laura does. No, I just, no. Laura beat me. Congratulations, Laura.
Yeah, good. I can't follow that act. Can't follow that act. All right, then I guess we're done. For Laura.
Goodbye.
For Johnny.
Bye-bye.
And from the sexiest man who has a hard time living, bye-bye. Thanks for listening.